In the English language, a Jeremiah is not only a biblical prophet, but a term for someone who is a profound pessimist, a prophet of doom, a person who, in being miserable themselves, spreads their misery to others. How did Jeremiah the prophet end up being a byword for a spreader of gloom and despondency? The process began in his own lifetime. When kings and people of influence at court demanded a positive message from Jeremiah that went along with their spin on events, the maintenance of their control, Jeremiah stubbornly refused to play the game. Instead, he warned them of the catastrophe that awaited them if they continued in their corrupt, unjust ways. Jeremiah had much to contend with in his personal life, for daring to say what no one wanted to hear, he was imprisoned, beaten, placed in the stocks, lowered into a cistern, left to die. He felt unable to marry and bring children into a world conscious of the destruction his people faced. He was no critical bystander of other people's troubles. These were his people. This was his land. And at times, his grief overwhelmed him. His homeland was caught up in the military struggles of the great powers around it, Assyria, Babylonia, and Egypt. In 605 BC, Judah was occupied by the Babylonians, its rulers sent into exile. In 587, after a revolt, Jerusalem was leveled to the ground, its temple destroyed. Jeremiah ended his life in unwilling exile in Egypt. There is suffering at the heart of Jeremiah's experience and pain in his expression of it. But if you want to know what a prophet is, or what it means to be a contemplative in action, or what living in hope looks like in practice, then Jeremiah is the person to go to. We know more about Jeremiah's life than any of the prophets. We have descriptions of his experience from his own hand and from those who knew him best. He shares his feelings openly in conversation with God. I wonder whether those of a later generation who identified Jesus as a prophet had the likeness of Jeremiah in mind, a vulnerable yet strong man who defended the poor, confronted injustice, called the nation back to God, and suffered for his cause. Someone who had his own Gethsemane moments, one who felt the pain of others and struggled to hold on to his yes to God, and one who not only spoke hope, but found ways to express it in action. This is Jeremiah's own description of his call. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anatoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of King Josiah, king of Ammon of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. What does it mean to be a prophet? This was a live question in Jeremiah's time, for there were many who called themselves prophets and spoke what was politically convenient to say. Special advisers, close to the king and people of power, those who were forever calculating what was to their best advantage, claiming divine authority for their own words and wisdom. And then that awkwardness of the person Jeremiah, feeling unwilling and unable for the task set before him, sometimes rebelling against the anguish it brought him, yet knowing he had to speak, he must act, for it was God who called him and touched his mouth with words. And what words? Words that set him at odds with the political elite, words and also actions that challenged comfortable values and assumptions. Jeremiah was a guardian of the covenant, of the God who asks, in the words of another prophet, that his people act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with their God. Jeremiah, the whistleblower. And we know that when a whistleblower emerges, all too many want that person silenced. No wonder, perhaps, when you listen to the challenge of his words. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, you that enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Amend your ways and your doings, and let me dwell with you in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly act justly one with another, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan and the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own hurt, then I will dwell with you in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your ancestors for ever and ever. Here you are, trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, We're safe, only to go on doing all these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your sight? Jeremiah was asking for trouble, and he got it. You shall die, he is told. Let us make plots against him. Let him be silenced. The same response Jesus got when he was moved to overturn the money changers' tables in the house of the Lord. What gave Jeremiah the conviction and the resilience to continue? I believe it was a life of contemplation. We might think that contemplatives and activists live in different houses, but Jeremiah shows us that contemplation is the source of the active life of a prophet. After his initial calling, we've heard it, God says to Jeremiah, "What do you see?" A prophet is one who attentively listens and looks, not only to God within more formal times of prayer, but to what is happening in the marketplace, the law courts, the city streets. No division here between sacred and secular. Looking and listening attentively in the presence of God, in openness to God. It is from this place of contemplation that words and actions arise. The word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah says, and it comes as he listens and looks. So what do you see? What do you hear? Can you see, hear with God, staying with what you notice, not relying on your own instant responses, but remaining attentive to what God is revealing as you stay in this place of contemplation? There are those who hurry into action outside this contemplative waiting, and those who listen, look, and notice, yet do not respond. What happens if, like Jeremiah, we integrate contemplation and action? Might it be transformation, the purposeful work of love, deeds that bring integration and healing, truth, hope? Jeremiah is called to pluck up and to pull down, but also to build and to plant, to live hope in a time of disintegration. Jerusalem is being besieged, its destruction awaits, and at that moment, Jeremiah contemplates purchasing a plot of land in the soon-to-be-destroyed city, for God has prompted him to do so. Location, 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 as Phil and Kirsty might say. "And I bought the field at Anatoth," Jeremiah says, "from my cousin Hanamel. In their presence I charged Baruch, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put them in an earthenware jar, in order that they may last for a long time. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land.'" How are you, how am I called to act hope? Hope is not primarily a feeling. Jeremiah challenges God, "See, the siege ramps have been cast up against the city to take it, and the city faced with sword, famine, and pestilence. Yet you, O Lord God, have said to me, 'Buy the field for money and get witnesses.'" And despite feeling, Jeremiah does it. Hope is a choice, an active response, a cooperation with God who is present and creative amidst the mess of things. I think of Victorian social reformers who responded to the smog, grime and poverty of a newly urbanised Britain by building decent homes for working people and outside spaces where they could breathe good air. I think of those who began to campaign against the slave trade, who continued in that protest despite the vested interests that opposed them. I think of churches and community organisations setting up food banks and credit unions in our own time. I think of all those people and then ask myself, what about me? But perhaps it's better not to ask myself, but to ask God, how do you call me to act hope in your suffering world? Maybe I'm invited to act hope in a particular person's life. Maybe it's some response to what's happening in my local community. Maybe, like Jeremiah, we have to be brave enough to go against the common current of thought and action and attitude. Maybe we will need to be creatively different, counted as odd. It's the way of true prophets. Maybe it's time not to belong, not to just go with the flow. Maybe we have to defy our own hesitancy and sense of inadequacy. And perhaps we can only do any of this from that listening place where God assures us, do not be afraid. I am with you to deliver you. I will put my words, my actions in your mouth, in your life. Be a Jeremiah. Why not? Your world needs you.